get ready for this moment. The cool thing is this is right here on YouTube and Facebook and all that, so you can even go back and rewatch this and take more notes. I have to do it many times. So we're going to get into this, and I think I'm going to have my wife open this up today. It's amazing what God is doing, and I hope you're ready, because we serve a great big God in the midst of all these situations, in the midst of all these mountains, that we are literally secure in who we are, sitting in the valley of these mountains that we see ourselves surrounded by, full of faith. God, what do you want to show us in that? What do you want to do with us in that? And sometimes we're trying to press so hard to move a mountain that we forget what God is trying to do with us before that mountain has to move anyway. In the midst of this chaos, we should be growing more. We should be growing deeper. We should outreach even more in the midst of this chaos that we're dealing with. This will go down in history books. For your children and their children, I promise. But what did the church do? What did you do? That's the big question. Quit looking in the tomb. He's not there anymore. He's alive. Long live the King. He's alive and well.
John chapter 14, verse 1 through 6 says it this way. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as I was praying the other night and I was focusing on God and His presence and the goodness of who He is and the joy that He can give in the midst of uncertainty, He spoke that to me. He said, Jen, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I said, yes, I know, God. I gave my heart to you. And I love you. He said, no. I need you to hear me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, but what do you mean, God? What do you mean? I get that you're the way to the Father. You're the way to get to heaven. And he said, but I'm more than that. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. It's more than that. And he began to speak to me and he said, I'm the way through it. I'm the truth in it. And I'm the life for it. I'm Jesus for today. For today. Not just salvation because you gave your heart to me years ago, but I'm salvation for today. That means when you get up, Jen, and you wake up, that you say, God, you're my way through it, you're my truth in it, and you're my life for it. That in my circumstances that I'm going through that may not look well, you're my way through it, you're my truth in it, and you're my life for it. It's more than just a moment of sitting down and saying, Father, I give my heart to you. It's more than that. Salvation isn't just a monumental moment where you just look at it and you are thankful for the time that you had and you go about your business living the way that you desire. Salvation is a process. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, it says, work hard. work. There's that word, work. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you. And in you giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. He's working in you. Is work out your own salvation every day. It's a daily movement. I think the reason some of you may be looking and you're going, why am I struggling so hard? If God, if I gave my life to Christ, doesn't He love me? Why are we going through this? Doesn't He care? And I think God wants you to know that salvation is a daily walk with Him. It's a daily lifestyle. It's something that you choose to do every day. You choose to get up to say, God, You're the way, and You're the truth, and You're the life. You're the way that I follow when there is no way, when all I do is question and wonder, what is the next steps? God, I don't have to question and wonder. I don't have to watch the news to get my direction. I don't have to be guided by other people's words and wisdom. I can be guided by You because You're the way. And I follow You. And God, when all the world is telling me all different truths, God, You're the truth in it. You're the one that I can follow after. You're the one that I can be directed towards. You're the voice that I can hear. It says, my sheep know my voice. And then You're the life. The life. You know what life is. It's that vibrancy and that abundance and that joy and that overflowing. It's like when a new baby is born, there's just this awe and wonder in it. And that's what Jesus is for your everyday. He's your awe and He's your wonder. He's the fresh breath. He's the fresh baby's cry. He's the freshness that comes and catches every tear that you cry. He's the way. He's the way. And it kept speaking. Kept speaking, and He said, they need to know that I'm Jesus for today. I'm Jesus for today. I wasn't good just for 2,000 years ago. I'm the only trademark that lasts through all the census, the different things that are going on. I last. I'm the only thing that remains. I'm the way. I'm the way through it. I'm the truth in it. And I'm the life for it. I'm the way. I'm the way. He reminded me about the veil when it was torn. Right when He died, the veil that was torn. And He said, Jen, it wasn't just for a VIP gathering. I didn't just do that so that once could come at a moment. He said, I tore it for good. He said, nobody went and put it back together. I tore it forever so that you could come into My presence. That's why when we were singing, You Made a Way and Oh Come to the Altar, it's because we don't have to go through anybody to get to the Father but Jesus Christ Himself, because He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life.
Was reading this that Philippians in the message on verse 12 through 13, and it's Jesus for today, and what's crazy is the resurrection happens, and what He has asked to be done is still the same. What He said before resurrection needs to be done after resurrection. And it is this scripture. I love what it says. It says, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When we're going through this stuff, guys, and your heart to give and what God has called you to do in the obedience, keep doing what you've been doing from the beginning. It says this in the message. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I've separated from you, keep it up. Man. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation. Be energetic in your life of salvation. If Jesus Christ have saved your life, please tell your face. Be energetic, be passionate, smile. He lives inside of you. For your life of salvation. Be reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy. And it's energy deep within you. And you might think that about our worship experience and stuff. Like, man, you guys are passionate. It's God's energy. It's not our own. It's all God. And when you come to realize that, when you worship and when you're living life, you can share that. This isn't me. This is God's energy. Man. God Himself willing and working at what will give Him the most pleasure. Do everything readily and cheerfully. Not bickering. No second guessing allowed. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. The same scripture is like the original one. Do everything without complaining or arguing so you can become blameless and pure children of God. I'm reading the same thing. This is the exact same scripture, just in the Message. No second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted. You go out into the world uncorrupted. Because we step foot into the corruption. You go out into the world uncorrupted. A breath of fresh air into a polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. What's your job? Provide a glimpse of the living God. Of good living. What do we consider good living? When we think that it's, I gotta have so and so, because it's what we think is good living is comparison living. Oh, boy's got that car, I need that. Oh, girl's got, I need those. That's not good living. You're not living. You're striving for somebody else's possessions. Good living. And of the living God. Basically, you're just being like Christ. Carry the light-given message to the night so you'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day Christ returns. Carry that light message into the night. I'll say it again. I say it all the time here. Light makes no difference in light. It only makes a difference in the darkness. Carry the light message into the night. Man. You'll be living proof that I did not go to all this work for nothing. Jesus for today is you being living proof that He didn't go through all that on the cross and died and resurrected just for nothing. He did it for you. You're living proof. So when you finally die to the flesh, you live in the Spirit. What God does in us is resurrection. We die of the flesh, and it's no more. And He comes back and lives with inside of us. He didn't do it for no reason at all. He did all of that just for you. Amen?
I want to go back to John 14, 5 and 6 in the Message, and it's funny that we're dealing with Thomas that is doubting. And we have such a place where people are doubting across the board. they only listen to whether it's the news, whether it's the next person, whether it whatever it is, they're not listening to the Word of God, and they're doubting at all times. Thomas said, "We have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road?" Jesus said, "I am the road. I am the way, but I am the road. I'm also the truth. I'm also the life. And no one can get to the Father except through me." Not one person. Listen to this, what God gave me this morning. He addresses our very human instinct to know where we are going before we even start the journey. He addresses our very human instinct before we even know where we're even headed, before the journey even starts. He's addressing us. He's addressing the disciples. He's addressing them. And he said, "I'm addressing your impulse. I'm addressing your behavior." He said, "But where are we going?" He said, "But he already addressed it before they even started the journey." Listen to this. God's funny how when we have doubting Thomases ask where the next turn is, the next step is, we have a long trip ahead of us. We want to turn our GPS on and see how long it's going to take us and how short the trip could be for us. The world is trying to put their GPS on, trying to figure out how they can get there and how short this trip is. And they've tried to already figure this out. But God said he's addressing our impulse and our behavior. He addressed it before they even started the journey. He's already addressed our impulse. Oh my God. And our behavior before this journey even started with everything that's going on. And while we're sitting here on Easter morning, he already knew our impulse and he already knew our behavior before this journey ever started. So we want to try to take this short trip. We want to get our GPS on because we're so used to putting that on in the car and knowing what road we're supposed to take because we're trying to believe what's on this phone. Come on, somebody. When we haven't believed what the Word of God is really trying to say, that he is the way, he is the road, he is the life, he's the truth. But we want to grab another impulse of what everybody else is saying.
Well, because it we've done Google Maps, and if you're watching Google Maps as you're driving, it'll start picking up other routes that'll be your fastest route, or it will always try to detour you in some ways, like, hey, this might be an option. They're always trying to give you the fastest route, and listen, the fastest route isn't always the best route. Well, I need to hurry up and get there. That's not always the best. Remember when we were talking about being capped because we're so trapped sometimes that we don't want to wait upon the Lord, that we hurry up and get up out because we want the fastest route and we wait, but yet he's still that good that he'll take us back to that route one more time. And that's the problem we have. If he's the way, the truth, and the life, I'm telling you right now, you have to let him unfold this whole thing. You have to let him unfold this whole map. This is just not a book.
That's right.
This is a map. This is a road map.
Yes, it is.
I'm telling you right now, this thing will change. This is the only book in history that has all the answers. And everybody's writing on top of everybody, writing on top in all five ways and four ways. And this book has every answer. The problem is we complicate the book. It's as simple as can be. It's just we have to apply it. But if it doesn't tickle our fancy, then we don't want to apply that. If he is Jesus for today, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow,
that's right,
then we need to apply all of that today.
Yeah. Thomas was looking for the same kind of information. He was trying to look for the GPS way back when. Thomas was looking for the same information. How can I get here? Where's the next step? What are we doing? And he's all shook up and everybody shook up. And he was trying to do the same information. They didn't have a GPS then, but they had. It's the GPS inside of you. He had an impulse and he had a desire, a behavior, and God was already speaking all the way through him, of addressing him, of a journey, stopping that GPS. Some of you need to stop your GPS and start with this map that God has given us. Jesus wanted them simply knowing and trusting in him daily, walking by faith that he's the way, that he's the road, he's the truth, and he's the light for today. He wanted them to know by faith. And some of us are not walking, stepping out by faith. We're dealing with this scripture of a doubting Thomas. And he was rushing around trying to see who could have an answer when the answer was standing right in front of him, that he was the way, he was the truth, he was the life. And Thomas, with his blinded eyes, could not even see beyond who the truth was right in front of him. And some of you have blinded eyes and you cannot see what the truth is that's right in front of you today. And today we are talking about Jesus for today, that he's the truth, he's the life, he's the way, he's the road. And I've been praying that your eyes would be lifted, your blinders and the doubt that Thomas had would be lifted off of you today. That you could really see who Jesus was. And he's a breath away for you. He's just a breath. He was standing. The breath of Jesus was standing right in front of Thomas, and he still couldn't see it. But I pray your eyes are lifted, the blinders of your eyes, because you could really see and hear what we're trying to say today.
If God has to redirect you, it's because he's redirecting you from destruction. I was sitting here thinking of that, just that thought. You know, your GPS says rerouting, drives you crazy. But sometimes, you know, God's not one to change his mind. But sometimes he has to reroute you because you're going in the wrong direction. Sometimes when we want to jump out of the process of where he's taking us, he has to reroute us back to the wilderness.
If you have your GPS on and you're going the wrong direction, it will reroute you until you turn around.
Yeah, it will.
It will say it. I'm telling you, it'll drive you.
U-turn.
Buck
U-turn.
Wild. It does. Until you turn around, it was like, okay, turn here. And then you keep going, turn here. I don't care if it's hours and hours. That's how Christ is. That's how the Holy Spirit is. Yeah. That resurrection just stays on you and says, reroute, 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 reroute. Until you decide to do it.
Yeah, but then some of us are shutting off our phones. So maybe that's why we get lost, because we shut off the Holy Spirit. He's trying to reroute us, but we shut our ears to it. Mute. We don't want to hear him no more. So, go to, I got so much sitting here. John chapter 14, verse 6 in the Passion Translation. It says, Jesus explained, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. I love the way this reads. I mean, let's just be real. It says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. It doesn't change that in any way, shape, or form. But I love the way it says, no one comes next to the Father except through union with me. He's saying, you have to understand that your path was always meant to be my way. Not your way, but my way. I am the way. So, way means a road, a track, a path, or a street for traveling along. Psalm 109 or 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the thing is Jesus, in being here on the earth and going through the processes that he was going through himself to redeem his us, he began to fulfill the Old Testament. This was written in the book of Psalm, the Old Testament. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. What he was doing was just fulfilling a prophecy about him. right? Your word, and if you go to John chapter 1, right? It's powerful. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was just literally laying everything out as a foundation for each one of us. And he's saying, I need you to understand that I am the way, and there's no other way to get around this. And I love, I'm going to skip ahead to Revelation real quick. I got a lot on my mind, and I'm going to let go. Revelation talks about wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life, right? So really what he was saying is you have been on this wide path that is leading toward destruction, but I am narrowing the way. I'm narrowing it through my Son. I'm narrowing it through the Word. I'm narrowing it through the way. And that way is only through Jesus Christ. And what's powerful about that is, you know, we're talking about resurrection. What we don't understand is that everything Jesus did was to bring the church out of the grave. The grave had been hidden in the church had been hidden in the grave the whole time. They didn't even understand who they were. We didn't even understand who we were until the grave was open. So Jesus goes in the grave, and I got to read this. I didn't give this to you guys. I'm sorry. I just got it while I was during worship. It's Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse 50 through 53. And Jesus cried out again with a loud, agonized voice and gave up his spirit voluntarily, sovereignly dismissing and releasing his spirit from his body in submission to his Father's plan. Ooh, so good. And at once the veil of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split apart. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints, God's people, who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. Go to the next one. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. His resurrection was so powerful that it went into the past and resurrected what was already dead. I want to say this to you, and I feel this in my bones, that even though you're laying in a tomb right now, and maybe your tomb is alcoholism, maybe your tomb is drug addiction, maybe your tomb is pornography, maybe your tomb is abuse, I want you to understand that the power of His Word and the power of His resurrection is going to reach into the tomb of your past and resurrect you to the new life of where you're supposed to be right now. He is that powerful that He can go into your very past and bring healing and resurrection to the dead places that you have lived. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. I want you to understand that when He resurrects you and rolls that stone away, everything of your past is going to stay in the tomb, but your new life is going to come out resurrected and holy and walking in the power of the resurrection of the presence and the Spirit of God. Woo. Jesus.
This is Jesus painting a picture of how He defends and how He leads His sheep, but also foreshadowing His death on the cross. This picture of what He was saying is how He leads His sheep, foreshadowing His death on the cross. This life is not our ultimate goal. It's the eternal life of salvation. This is a foreshadow of what He's saying that he knew us. When he was on the cross, he knew every one of us. From way back when they were resurrected out of the grave, to your resurrection now that you have been in your grave. He already foreshadowed that when he was on the cross. He already knew you. He already knew Thomas. He already knew that instinct. He already knew that behavior. He knows your instinct. He knows your behavior right at this very moment. At this very moment.
His whole purpose was to resurrect the church and activate it so that it could take back the territory that was forfeited. Do you understand that God, through salvation, through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, wants to activate you so that you can take back the territory that you forfeited all those years? His word and his salvation is so powerful, it can lift everything that has been on you for all these years off in a very moment. All it is just saying his name. It's that simple.
Amen. My goodness. You know, this Resurrection Sunday, a lot happened. People found themselves in homes, in fear, hiding, upset, didn't have any, no answers. There was no end to it. Trying to figure out. And the Savior of the world was murdered. Everything that he said and everything that happened, when he died, they went in. And the problem was is that they stopped at the death and forgot about what he said he was going to rebuild in 3 days. And the reality of that, the Pharisees and the Sadducees kept saying, these are the religious people, what I guess they would consider pastors today, or somewhat, took it serious and like, you're going to tear down our building here. So what, you're a terrorist now? Oh, so Jesus, you're going to tear down this building here. See, Christ wants to dwell inside your temple, which is right here. He don't want to live in a building, because the building seems empty, and some of y'all don't go to church and you only come on Easter. So how's he going to dwell with you if he just sits here? He wants to dwell with you where you go. You're the church. You're the temple. But I'm just going to be real quick, and we're going to sit in this for a minute, because this has been just heavy on my heart. The problem we're having, and I don't know if it's a problem now or not, but what's happening now with the church is it's dying. The building. Nobody's in them. And what God is trying to do is resurrect the local church. Resurrect the local church. I mean, let's think about it. It's Easter Sunday right now. Do you got your church clothes on, your church hat on, all the agenda that you do when you go to church? See, here's the thing. We put on all this stuff about church, about the church building, all the rules and regulations. When the church started to get active, there was no denomination. It was the church. It was the believers that loved Jesus and followed after him and grew. We are literally rebooting church. You're in your home, and he's trying to reboot the whole system so we can get back and do what we used to do, or we can go forward and change the method and go and realize what the heck we're really doing in the end of this. What is real important? You're sitting at home. You might have invited a friend to watch this. You might have started a watch party, but did they go through 101, 202, 203, 103 to get to the watch party? Did they look right because they dressed right? Did they have their Easter outfit on? Did they have their church clothes on? No, nothing. You invited them because you had a longing for them to watch what you're watching. We have got out of this. I know this is going to stir up a lot of people, but I don't care anymore. This is why God put us here in this moment. Because the reality is, we have to reboot church. Jesus is for today. And he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He says this, I am the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When the I am was said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When I am was said, Moses was trying to figure something out at a bush. And God himself said, tell him that the I am that I am sent you. But God, I don't want to do this. Moses was being a doubting Thomas. But God, I can't do this. But God, is that the truth? But God, he was fighting and arguing and bickering with the Lord himself. He said, just say, I am sent you. Jesus comes in the New Testament and says, I am, hold on, the way, the truth, and the life. He changes the whole thing. God, yes, he is, I am everything. But he had to simplify it. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life you want to live. I'm telling you right now. But I'm telling you this, and I don't care if you send this to any leader, any pastor, I don't. We have to reconsider how we do church in the building. I'm not even joking. How do we have to dress and how we have to look and get our church, or, you know, we got to get ready because we got to wear our church clothes. You got your church hat on? You got your church this and that? Nobody's doing membership. We're just thankful that we get to gather together somehow, some way. We're not looking at who's, well, what denomination are you? What is this? Do you love Christ Jesus or do you not? God is trying to control alt, delete the church and resurrect the church.
Let me say something real quick to that. It wasn't called church, Pastor Brandon. It was called the household. It was never called the church. It was called the household of faith. If you look back, it was never ever said it was the church. It was said it was the household of faith. And we're going back to the household. We're going back to the household of faith.
It's resurrected.
It was family. Yeah. It was people. Yeah. It was groups. It was never a church building. It was a household.
Yes.
It was a family. It was mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters that loved one another with all their hearts. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. You love me first. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. It was never, ever supposed to be the church. It was supposed to be the household of faith. And we're going back to the household.
He's called us to get back to the reality of it, like the roots of the whole thing, going right back to it, how he created it. It almost had to die off in a way to not gather in buildings. I'm not saying, and please don't misinterpret and say weird stuff, that I'm saying the local church building's not important. It is. It's like a beacon in the whole city. But I'm telling you, the things we do inside these walls, we might need to readjust them. And that's the truth. Because here's the reality. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened, if Jesus Christ was here in flesh right now, how many of us would have to show him how to have church?
That's the absolute truth. Because we've walked away from the blueprint. We've literally stepped away from the blueprint of the kingdom. It was laid out in the book of Acts. They went from house to house, breaking bread and fellowshipping with one another. Maybe just right now, I just want to say this. This might offend you, but I don't care. But maybe your home needs to become the jail cell you need to be stuck in for a little while. Because I remember reading in the book of Acts where Paul was put in prison in Rome, and the guards would come to him and the other inmates would come to him, and in the prison cell, he would share the gospel with them. And it said that people were getting saved right and left. Even the guards were getting saved. I think the reason we are being held captive in our homes right now is because God is trying to reboot us. Because we can't come out the same. We can't come back in this building and go through the routines and the motions again. We have to be out in the streets sharing the power of his resurrection everywhere we go. We got to be breaking bread with one another. When was the last time you broke bread with a family member that don't even know Christ? You've got an opportunity right now because you're in quarantine. Maybe the reason you're in quarantine right now is because God's been waiting on you to start sharing the gospel with your family because you've been so stuck on a building that you forgot about sharing the gospel. This is the reality of what he's doing. He is waking up the church. Do you know that resurrection is really an awakening? We've been crying out to God for the third great awakening to come. Well, here it is. It's in your home right now. Let the ground begin to shake and let the stone be rolled away in your home and let the resurrection come in your own house. So that way when you come out and you go visiting like the others when they came out of their grave and you go in the city and they're going to be blown away by the power of God that's on your life and on display. We have to show this world who he really is. He is the resurrected Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end of it all. He's the embodiment of who we are.
I think when it all comes down to it, if you look at it, and we're sitting here on Easter Sunday, and it was funny because when I got dressed today, I was like, what am I going to wear? You know what I'm saying? Because it's Easter Sunday, you know, it's Easter Sunday. And I was like, I don't really care. I'm going to put some clothes on. It's warm outside. I just want to come in and enjoy the presence. I don't care what I got on right now. There isn't anybody to impress. But the problem about it was, is that he has so destroyed the method right now. He has literally torn down the method of how we celebrate, of how we remember.
Created it, though.
Exactly.
It's man-made. The stuff we do in church is man-made.
It's the same thing he did 2,000 years ago when he destroyed the method of how they looked about a Savior and how he was supposed to come and what he was supposed to look like and the seedling that he was. He's destroying every bit of it again. And what's so powerful to me is the one thing he was just saying to me is he said, who do you say I am today? Right at this very moment. Am I not God because there's disease and pestilence and things destroying the world right now? So that makes me not God. Who do you say I am today? Am I Jesus for today? Am I Jesus for today? Going back again to how we began. I'm the way through it. I'm the truth in it. And I'm the life for it. That's what it is. We're going to worship God today as we end out. He's the way through it, the truth in it, and the life for it. Who do you say he is today?
Yeah. Create a watch party. Do all those things throughout the day. Encourage people. Bring resurrection. Because listen, that same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave lives in you if you accepted him as Lord and Savior. So you have that. So let's share that as the church reboots itself. And when we come together, I'm telling you, the method's changed. I'm telling you. So share this. Get ready for the kids ministry. Listen, it's amazing what God's doing. Help grow the ministry because, listen, it's just about Jesus. All we want to do is make him famous. Continue to lift him up. It's always only about him. Nothing else. We're going to worship for a few minutes, and we're going to go ahead and let you go and enjoy your resurrection Sunday. I'm telling you, he lives within you. Like what Pastor Josh said, what needs to resurrect? What has to die and stay in the ground? I don't know what it is on your habits or your bad habits, but you know and you can make the choice to let resurrection come alive in your soul today. Amen?
I follow after you. You open my eyes. God, you're the truth and the light. I follow after you. You open my eyes. God, you're the way, the truth and the love. I follow after you. You open my eyes. God, you're the way, the truth and the love. Follow after you. You open my eyes. God, you're the way, the truth and the love. Follow after you. You open my eyes. God, you're the way, the truth and the love. Follow after you. You open my eyes. God, you're the way, the truth, and the life.
God, you're.
God, you're the way, the truth, and the life. God, you're the way, the truth, and the life. God, you're the way, the truth, and the life.